we should, you know, returning kindness for kindness, right? If somebody's kind to us, we should be kind to them, right? And if somebody's willing to teach us the right way, we should respect that and, in a way, honor them. You're not putting them up on pedestals or anything, but, you know, to have respect for those people. And then verses 7 and 8. Aiden?
Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap
everlasting. And say, so do not be deceived. God is not mocked. I don't know if it's just me or Google search engine. I don't know. It seemed like a couple months ago, I started seeing more and more people posting about God. And it all stems political things happening, political and everything. But then here lately, it seems like I've seen half those posts. It's actually people mocking God. You know, people naturally do not like to feel non-intelligent. I don't know, everybody here doesn't want to feel non-intelligent, right? It's kind of a natural feeling. We just don't like that feeling. People also like other people to think what they think. It's just in our DNA at some point. So if you could put something that makes fun of something, you know, and then put it in a way that it makes others feel dumb for believing it, you're one step closer to fooling somebody who's not strong in faith. Now, I do know that even some Christians will use this same tactic. You know, I'm not a fan of that because we should be walking in love, right? We should be walking in love and not degrading people. We shouldn't be trying to force them by making them feel inadequate, but we should be telling them. We should be informing people, not degrading people, right? But people attack things they don't understand. That's also something what's just humans usually do, is they attack something that is different, something they don't understand. They may hear the words, but they don't know the meaning. Now, we're on to be taking communion today, but in communion, Jesus talks about the bread, right? What does he picture the bread to be? Yes?
His body.
His body, right? And then there's the cup. What is the cup? It's a little piece of plastic with juice in it, right? It's the cup. What does it symbolize? It's usually grape juice, so it's usually the color red.
Blood.
His blood, Jesus' blood, right? So, back in Paul's day, people heard these terms and they say, oh my gosh, Christians are cannibals. No, because we all know cannibals is a bad thing, right? Nobody wants to go to a dinner party of a cannibal's house, right? It's just... Right. We aren't. We know that. We know that they're just symbols, right? And that, but for those who did not understand, you know, it's crazy that they didn't understand, but they didn't understand, and then how many were deceived because of this? You know, this is why Knowing the Word is important. Or studying the Word, understanding the Word, getting to understand the Word is very important. Now, the other part we're looking at in those verses is talking about reaping what you sow. What does that mean? Anybody's ever heard that term? You reap what you sow? Yeah? Jesse, you want to explain it, or? Yeah, exactly. So reaping is your harvest, and sowing is what you plant. So what you put in is what you're left with or what you get out of it. So if a person continually mocks God, you know, he'll have a life without God, right? He'll get what he wanted because that's what he's sowing. If we only care about things of the world, we'll get worldly rewards. You know, that's the only thing we'll receive, something that won't last. And a lot of times we'll say that saying, you know, reap what you sow, and it's always about a negative thing, about bad things, you know, because, oh, well, these people are doing this, so they'll reap what they sow. You know, but it also works for the good. You know, it doesn't just apply to bad, it applies to good. So if we let God's Spirit lead us, our rewards will not fade away. Like how the world's rewards will fade away. They're momentary, but God's rewards are forever. In Galatians 6, verse 9, Lana? All right, so growing weary, losing heart, what are those all are symptoms of? It might be a weird question. Might may not be understand that question. But what is that a symptom of? When do you lose heart, or when do you grow weary? When you're not trusting. Right? When you're not patient. Right? And let's face facts. Patience is not everybody's strong suit. Right? Sometimes, you know, there's God's timing and then there's our timing. Sometimes we don't feel like they match up. You know, with today's technology. Somebody just got a cell phone. You know, if we don't get things happening in a second, all of a sudden we feel like the internet service is trash, right? It's horrible. We need it now. This is ridiculous. You know, funny thing, and you guys are way too young, but, you know, cell phones weren't actually around for the great public until like the late 80s, early 90s. You know, 35, that's kind of when it started. That's why I feel. I feel like it's more the 90s before it actually started taking off and they all started with big old brick phones and stuff. I remember that, but that's only 30 plus years ago. That's not that long ago. And now we're just like, everything has to be quicker and quicker. And then internet, they didn't start out having internet service on your phone. You know, that's only been for like 20 years. 20 years ago, roughly 20, 24 years ago, that they actually had internet on your phones. So all this quickness, you know, people had to wait for things. You had to wait until somebody wanted to change the channel so that they get up and change the channel because we didn't have remotes. It's rough times. Rough times. But do not grow weary. Do not lose heart. Be patient. God keeps his promises in his timing. It might not match up with ours, but his timing is perfect. In Psalms 46:10, Stephen. Yeah.
Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nation, and I will be exalted in the earth.
Be still and know that I am God. Be patient. Know that He is there with you. Trust in Him. Now, it's hard to be patient with somebody you don't know. It's hard to be patient with somebody you don't trust. And it's hard to be patient with somebody you never talked to. Right? So we need to get that relationship. It's talking about that relation, knowing that Jesus is the Lord. Galatians 10, or 6, 10. Jesse, can you read that? Non-believers and believers, they're different, right? But they both need encouragement. They both need encouragement. The house divided will fall. You know, we can't really have this thought that we're going to reach people that don't understand if we're always fighting with people what do understand. You know, we can't look past that, because if you think about it, the people we're closest to is going to see our worst sides. It's just the way it happens. It's because they're always around us, right? And that's even more a reason that we should help them out with their burdens. We should show kindness, you know, and not go fleshly and just want to tear people apart, because they're there. The reason they're close is because they're there and they're friends, they're family. Galatians 6:11. Aiden. So Paul's all concerned about circumcised, not circumcised. Now he's caring about his penmanship. He's all over the place, right? Well, did you know that Paul did not handwrite all of his letters? What? He dictated them. Yo, he said the letters. He actually formulated the words, but he didn't handwrite all of his letters. So he had kind of like a secretary, if you will. Well, he'd say stuff and they'd write it down. But around this time, there was some false letters circulating, and they said, oh yeah, this is from Paul. And they'd tell whatever they wanted the church to believe in. So Paul started writing a little bit. Towards the end, typically towards the end of his letters, he'd write a little bit in his own handwriting. You know, it was to say that, oh no, this is truly from Paul. You know, and it kind of goes along with that theory that Paul had a problem with his eyesight. Because it says, what large letters? So he wrote with big letters compared to other people. And this was kind of his mark or his signature. If you think about it, like if you got a baseball with an autograph, you know, how do you know that's actually been signed by that guy? You know, so it's authenticated. You know, you have to go to a dealer or whatever. And so it's just saying, okay, this is authentic. This is actually my letter. This is actually what I want you to know. This is what I'm teaching. You know, unlike these false letters. In Galatians 6, 12, and 13. Lana? All right, so he's talking about, you know, the Judaizers, right? That at the beginning of the letter, he's talking about those who are saying, oh, no, Galatians, you know, believing in Jesus is fine, but you need to be circumcised in order to be truly saved. Paul's saying even those people who are teaching that, they have fallen short. They cannot keep the whole law because everybody's fallen short. You know, however, they don't want to be wrong. These Judaizers, they're humans. They don't like to be in wrong, right? And they don't want to change what they believe in. You know, pride, whatever it is, they don't want to change. They feel like they're right. So they try to get as many people as they can to believe in what they believe in. It makes them feel better about themselves. But it doesn't change the fact that they're wrong. The problem with what they were teaching is that it changes how we were saved. Or how we are saved. Right? It changes it from grace to works. And that's the whole problem with it, is that we are not saved by our own good works. You know, if we could do that, Jesus wouldn't have had to die on the cross. Right? And we could boast about how good we are, how strong we are. And that's not good. In Galatians 6, 14 and 15, Stephen?
But God forbid that I should boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything but a new creation.
So boasting is not good. And God has forbid boasting in everything other than the cross. Boasting only deceives. You know, maybe others, maybe, but always yourself. God knows our flesh and knows how weak it is and knows how boasting just kind of like, you know, caters to the flesh. In Psalms 94, verse 4, Jesse? So again, boasting is not good. Now, a couple more terms that some non-believers may not quite understand. You know, Paul talks about he was crucified with Christ. I mean, with Christ or with Jesus, right? He also talks about, there's mention of a new creation, or how people would say again, or today would be is born again. Now, Paul did not literally get crucified with Christ, right? It's kind of like the bread and the juice. It's kind of a symbol, right? He's talking about his old life. You know, the one that didn't believe in Jesus. You know, a life where Paul was trying to work his way to being saved. You know, that life, Jesus is that life. Jesus is why he actually died. You know, he was paying for that life's sin. You know, the old life of Paul died that same day Jesus did. You know, that day Jesus paved a path for anyone and everyone who believes in him. And again, just like that, Paul didn't get born again in the sense of a mother and her baby. You know, he didn't enter the womb again, then come out, hey, it's my birthday. What he's talking about is that he was freed from his past sins. You know, those past sins were forgiven. You know, they have no hold on him. And his old life died. It's kind of a literally died. He doesn't have any need for that old life anymore. So figuratively, not literally, figuratively, Paul is a new creation. Right? Because he no longer is that guy. He's the new Paul. You know, he has a new life to live. And it doesn't matter if that life he was circumcised or uncircumcised. That's not a deciding thing. The only thing that matters is this decision if he believes or he doesn't believe. That's the question. Because it's not what we can do, it's what God does for us. You know, we are not saved by our works. Yes, we should be doing good works. We should. You know, the whole world should be doing good works. Wouldn't that be awesome? However, no amount of good things can wash away the sin or the stains of sin. Only Jesus could do that. Our trust and faith needs to be in Jesus. Galatians 6, 16 through 18.
And as many as walk according to this rule, peace and mercy be upon them and upon the Israel of God. From now on, let no one trouble me, for I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus. Brethren, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen.
So we could say Paul had a lot of challenges, right? He had a lot of growing situations, right? Had a lot of trouble. And at to the point where there would be many that would crumble. But he didn't grow weary. He didn't lose heart. You know, he stood his ground and he stood strong in the truth of Jesus. And from now on, let no one trouble me. You know, Paul chose Jesus. It didn't matter what came against him. You know, he was always going to choose Jesus. In Psalms 56, 11, Stephen, I kind of messed up. It's actually Psalms 56, 11, not 10. But I know I said 10. That's why I messed up. We could read 10 and 11.
True.
So, Lana, 10 and 11 of Psalms 56. Oh. Huh? There you go.
In God I have confidence.
What can man do to me? So fear not, the Lord is with you. Right? If he's in our corner, what can man do to us? You know, nothing. Aiden, can you close this in prayer and then we'll have communion?